What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever. Who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. All right, we gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like the Neanderthal. Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts. How many tries to take?
They ain't ready. All right, welcome back. It's another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. Man, it's been a long time, and we got a special guest for this one. We bidding him Godspeed. And what's the shit you say to people that travel?
Bye.
Bye? Okay.
Bye.
Holla. But yeah, as always, I am J.Dot Flan. Across from me, my brother Rich Nerd.
You already know.
To my left is one of the original founding members of the White Pants Society.
Easy Tiger
is getting ready to make the transition.
Making that jump across the pond.
He about to be European.
European?
Oh.
I mean. Close the door.
I don't know.
Because he's a pin.
Oh, okay. Because he's a pin. Mm-hmm. That's like the
worst. It was a bad one.
That's
a bad joke.
It was a bad joke.
Shameless pun.
All right. But yeah, we are the White Pants Society. This is episode whatever. What is TWS podcast? We don't have a, I don't think there's a theme or anything. We just, we going to shoot the shit with our own need for a minute.
Get it off our chest.
Yeah. All right. So as usual, we do the little get the evil out. I don't know. I kind of feel like I want to go last because I might not give up the floor. Like, I just, I got some shit built up.
Like, you know what? You deserve it. Go ahead. Let it flow.
All right. I don't know, man. I like I said, I changed jobs, and I'm learning all these. I'm getting to the age where, like we said last time, like I'm running out of fucks. Like as you lose so hair,
you can watch
your vision the fucking goes away,
just dwindle away. Yeah. It's like, no fucks done.
You know, you run out of you don't have the same amount of energy. I don't have the same amount of fucks. I don't care anymore, and. And so I'm starting to see things. I'm starting to see, like, the profession I chose. And I chose this profession, really, because it was easy. Because it was easy money. It was, you know, for somebody without a degree, I already had, you know, sort of an aptitude for it. You know, getting into IT was not that hard to do. And you could make decent money, you know, better than a cash register or something, you know, early on. But I'm starting to realize, like, with the exception of the gentleman in the room, most IT people are dicks. Like, I fucking hate these people. Yeah. I really do. Like, it is one giant pissing contest, and I'm just...
It really fucking is.
I'm really just done with it. Like, with all of the, I'm smarter than you, or look at what I know. Like, I don't know, man. I'm not a showy, braggadocious kind of person. Like, I'd rather sit and do the work and then have you come by one day and admire the work that I did.
Yeah.
You know, then they'd be like, hey, look what I can do. Look what I can do. Or look what I know that you don't know. Or yeah, just some dumb shit. And that's what I'm encountering over and over again in the IT industry.
Did you see that picture I sent you on Friday?
No. Oh yeah. That's some stuff that I want to do to, you know, to some coworkers.
Uh-huh.
Mine would be more malicious. I don't think it would just be like boxes and balloons. It might...
Man, I really wanted to tell the Cisco phone engineer's cube with Cisco phone boxes for every phone he made me deploy. Man. But we didn't have quite enough deployments for me to do that. And it was somebody's birthday like 2 days before. So I just stole all the balloons from her.
You know what? We were sitting and looking at that picture and I was like, how the fuck did he blow up all these goddamn balloons?
Yeah, well, somebody else did it for her. I mean, I wouldn't have gone that far. I would have just tried.
It's like, how the fuck did he stash all these balloons until the last minute to get them in it? That was a good one.
Yeah. And I don't know. I had no, like, want to do anything but not. Like, if I was going to do something on my way out, it would have been, like, purely malicious. Like, there was some desk I might have wanted to dance on, maybe, you know, relieve myself. So, I don't know.
My intent was not 100% malicious. My intent was just like, you know what, you have annoyed me to no end this year, so I need to do something. And it wasn't just me that he annoyed, so I felt pretty justified. I inconvenienced him when he got to work today. I still haven't heard what the fallout was. I need to check in with some peeps.
Yeah, we all need to know what happened with the box and balloon guy.
No, I do have to say that I agree with you on your point, though. IT guys are big dicks. Pause. And wait, I didn't plan that statement, guys. One thing I'm grateful for. So I've worked with both of you in the same industry, and I will say that both of you guys are very knowledgeable. And it's probably come down to several instances where one of us knew something that the other person didn't know, and we've never had that asshole situation, which I appreciate. Like, all three of us have always been able to go to the other person and say, you know, do you know how to do this? Or could you support me with this? Or how do you, you know what I'm saying? Just say it and without, you know, being in your feelings or feeling away, and that none of that macho-ness, but being able to be that, having that sense of camaraderie. That's how I do appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like you're all on the same team there. People are pushing to go ahead and become supervisors and move into infrastructure or more roles with more responsibilities. But at the same time, you're only helping yourself if you help those under you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm so glad you said that, Tom, because, like, one of my major issues with my previous job, one of the reasons I left was because, you know, of my direct leadership. And I don't think...
That's why you left twice.
That's why I left twice. Yeah, yeah. That's why I left Freescale. That's why I left the other company, which I would not name. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I don't think... Like, leadership is not power. It's a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I used to manage a group, and one of the things I learned very early on, and I didn't know coming in, so I made mistakes. What I learned very early on is that if you're a manager, you are only successful if your people are successful. You cannot be successful if your people aren't successful.
No,
I don't think people realize that. Yeah, yeah, they don't realize that.
So you have a vested interest in making sure that the people under you have what they need to do their job, are trained well enough to do their job, have the support that they need to do their job, aren't encountering obstacles preventing them from doing their job. Because the better they look, the better you look. If you're beating them down and talking about how stupid they are, how inept your staff is, you look like a bad boss. Super,
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, and the thing is, you actually need them more than they need you.
Because
people can succeed with a bad boss, but a boss can't succeed if his employees aren't behind.
True.
Yep.
So, I mean, I learned that very early on. That in order to be successful as a leader, you have to engender loyalty and things from the people that are underneath you. And you can only do that by taking care of your folks. Like, By fighting for them, by doing what you... And like you said, it's IT. I don't think a lot of people realize that IT is a service industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for a lot of us, you know, one, IT is not a revenue-generating department in most companies. So we're not like sales and stuff where, you know, the company has a vested interest in making sure those people are okay and successful, because those are the people making the money for them. We're support. You know, we're janitors for, you know, like we clean up messes, we make sure things work, you know.
More or less, yeah.
More or less, you know. And so it is I have a very us versus them mentality when it comes to IT. And I feel like you have to, and that was my feeling at Freescale. And I think that's one thing I tried to create, and I feel, you know, somewhat proud of, you know, how we left it. I tried to develop like a family style atmosphere that, like, we're a team, we're a group, we are all we got. Like, I gotta support you, you gotta support me, because they trying to get us, you know, they trying to blame us for something, they trying to, you know, make us look bad. So we gotta take care of each other. And I don't know, I find that to be something that is difficult in IT. Like, people don't wanna, everybody's trying to be that standout, everybody's trying to be that guy. And they feel like they gotta knock you down or make you look you know, worse, or hide information from you, or you know, hold on to knowledge because it makes them look better for some reason. I don't know. IT people are dicks. Just, that's just what it is. So, folks, I apologize. I know you probably have IT guys at your job, and you may feel this way about them, and it's the truth. It's the truth. They fucking assholes. All of them. All of them. I know I can be one, too. Especially if it's, if you ask for something at 4:30. Stop doing that, people. Like, really. If you don't, if you can't figure out your problem before 4 o'clock, you don't have a problem. Just let that shit go.
Like the 4:30 SLA.
Yeah, I stopped working at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. From 4 to 5 is like...
cleanup time.
Cleanup time. Like, de-stress.
Hey, what you know I'm what? We still have those fucking... they call like 3:30, 4 o'clock meetings. Never been to one. Don't expect me to show up at a meeting that you call for 3:30. It's not going to happen. I'm out. I'm not there.
Dude. I'm trying to turn over a... I'm trying to be different. Tom can tell you they stopped inviting me to meetings at Freescale because I was causing so much of a ruckus. I don't want
to
be that guy. Because
you were trying to provide input.
I was trying to provide input, and my input normally was, "That's stupid. I don't want to do it."
Well, it was usually more constructive than that, but it ended up with you trying to talk over Lilith and Lilith trying to talk over you, and yeah.
I was ready for a fight.
I know.
And I'm not even a fighter, but
I think they just stopped having those meetings is what happened. Okay, Jared's not happy here.
But life is changing. New job. I'm gonna make this podcast successful one way or another. Tom is moving to Europe, man. Are you going to a whole nother country?
I am. It's exciting and terrifying and yeah, a whole bunch of other emotions. I'm going over there to be with the love of my life, so.
Oh.
It's going to be the coldest winter ever.
It is physically going to be
quite winters cold. Are brutal in Eindhoven.
They're pretty cold. I mean, it's not like Detroit or...
oh, okay.
I mean, it doesn't really...
I don't think anything is like Detroit and Milwaukee and shit. I was upset in New York, but I had friends in Detroit. I was happy it wasn't me.
I think it gets below zero. Sometimes it snows. It's not really a common thing there either. Oh, but okay.
Have you ever been in below zero weather?
I have, but not having to work or do anything like that. I mean, the only reason I was ever in really below zero weather was to go snowboarding in Canada.
So it was by choice.
It was mostly by choice, yes, but it was still freaking cold when we were trying to get out of the truck.
Yeah. That cold and having to get up and deal with it every day, go to work in it, come home in it, go out to play in it.
Yeah, I couldn't deal with that.
Renee, she wants to move back to the East Coast, and I'm like, do you really want winter? Do you really want snow?
Winter is coming.
I don't miss it.
Yeah, no, I don't miss it. I've been in Milwaukee where it's like the temperature is like -10, and when you add the wind chill in right off that lake, it's like -20.
Yeah. Then, disgusting. Oh, man.
That's the one time as a black man I had to wear a ski mask. Like, nobody could get mad
because
like,
you can't have exposed skin
in that kind of weather.
It was bad. I don't know that I can do it. Like, Renee wanted to go and visit home for the holidays. I don't know if we can make it back to her home of Chicago or my home of New York anywhere past October. I don't want to have to deal with anybody's cold. And the fact that it doesn't get that cold here, I got to put a coat in my suitcase or carry it as a carry-on. I don't know. I don't want to deal with that. Mm-hmm. I got to buy one. I don't actively have a coat just lying around for
cold
weather.
This is what y'all can't see, people. We in Texas, and it's September. So,
you're right.
You know,
my bad.
It's getting, you know.
A little backstory.
Right, but I'm just saying right now at the table, right now, I'm sitting here in a short sleeve polo shirt. Easy Tiger got on shorts. And a short sleeve polo shirt.
I have a short sleeve polo collar shirt on.
Underneath.
Under my shawl next week.
Yeah, there you go. It has a full on sweater. And it had to be like, what, 86? 87?
It hit 86 today.
Yeah, like 86.
It was a low of 63.
I don't think that sweater's come off in 3 years, Richard.
It's 86 degrees outside, bro.
Right. I go from the house to the car, from the car to the office, from the office back to the car. I don't spend much time outside. But that little 60 seconds from the front door to the car, it'd be hot as shit. I'm not gonna lie, it'd be hot as shit. And then you get into a hot car. Oh man,
I don't know how you do it, man.
I think it's because I'm used to it at this point, but I understand it. I really need to stop because these sweaters are gonna be the death of me.
For the moment I met you, I'm like, I know you from New York. I know it's gonna take a little while. You know, it's September. You don't understand that September here is not what September is in New York. But we like 2 years.
All right, guys. Just a quick break to pay the bills. TT Charities, a.k.a. Tavares Taylor Charities, hosts and partners with a number of organizations and corporations to help improve literacy, combat poverty, and combat hunger and provide basic needs. Clothing, food drives, literacy programs for children, and adult empowerment are just a few of the things that they're involved in. If you want to donate, please check out ttcharities.org. If you're not able to donate, just give up your time or give a retweet. Anything is taken. We also shouting out RG Mode. RG Mode, the brand, is the brainchild of Miss Renee G. It focuses on every level of style, from fashion and trends to beauty and hair care and even home decor, with a healthy dose of lifestyle tips and DIYs thrown in. Check out rgmode.com or youtube.com/C/RGModeTV. Last but not least, Rena's Cakeys. Cakeys are cake-like cookies that have the texture of cake with the shape and size of a cookie and are topped with plenty of flavored icing. Rena also has cupcakes, pies, macarons, anything you need, she's got it. Check out renascakeys.com. That's R-I-N-A-S, Cakeys. Not going to spell it because you know how to spell cake. All right, back to your normal scheduled program. Stops.
It never stops. My wallet is hurting.
Screaming.
It's hurting.
Well, I had a rant. But fuck that rant, man. These niggas is underperforming right now. I keep refreshing this shit. I'm gonna need like somebody to do something, cause I'm down by like 35 points right now. The fuck? It's a backstory.
Only 35?
Backstory. I unfortunately shut the fuck up. I unfortunately pulled. Man. Was matched up with Flan first week of our fantasy football league, and he is beating me 114-77 right now. Motherfucker.
I mean, I do this for a living. I don't think so.
He does this professionally.
He's projected to beat me by like 50 points. Pause.
So I mean, have you seen, because when you look at the people's, when you look at someone's team in the league, you can see their skill level. Have you ever looked at my skill level? If you look at my team in there, I've managed 31 teams. I have a lifetime record of 243 wins to 121 losses.
Wow.
That is almost 67. I win 67% of the time. 11 championships. I mean, I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm trying to make you feel better. You didn't lose to somebody who don't do this. I do this.
I have managed 3 teams. Fuck you.
I have managed 2, including this one.
And this shit is crazy.
I do this. So, all right, I'm going to give you some pro tips, right? Pro tip number one is, if you notice tonight, you have 2 players playing against your defense. So you had no chance. You had no chance of catching up, because whatever your guys did was going to counteract your defense. So that's one thing to watch out for. That's a pro tip. Pro tip number two, never bet on Redskins. Never. I'm a Redskin fan. You don't draft Kirk Cousins. That's a mistake. I love him. And I was watching that game with like a heavy heart. I was just like, man, like, and when they had that last fumble, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, yes, that helps me, but god damn it, the Redskins again. Like, we can't do nothing right. Nothing. That dude is getting paid, though. He gotta be one of the smartest.
Like, I feel like, I didn't think it was gonna be this bad. Like, I really, but fuck it. I mean, they were snatching up everybody by the time I got to that, so it is what it is.
I mean, now you ran into, if you look at my projected, what I'm projected to score this week compared to the rest of the teams in the league, I mean, you ran into the wrong team at the wrong time. It's not a reflection on you, Rich. You tried. I'm just you ran into the wrong team at the wrong time.
What are you projecting the score right now?
Right now, I'm 144.
Yeah, that's right. That's like the highest projection in a league right now.
I mean, that's what happened to me in one of my other leagues. I ran into somebody who started Kareem Hunt. And so right now, I'd be beating any other team that I played. Yeah. I just happen to play him. So I'm losing.
I got lucky. My opponent has him on the bench.
Yeah, he put him on the bench. Manny had him on the bench. Shout out to Manny.
I'm on Manny's kicking himself right now.
I know, because he's got, what, the dude from the Chargers, Gordon?
Yeah, I love fantasy. If I could just put the focus I put into fantasy football into anything else, if I could put the focus I put into fantasy football into this podcast, we'd have been successful by now. We'd been popping off by now. Nori would have been knocking my door down trying to get us on the Drink Champ.
Ain't no plan. That's all right.
So what episodes did I watch recently on Drink Champ? I watched the Trina episode, which is pretty good.
I haven't even caught Drink Champs lately. We've been so engulfed in finally catching up with Game of Thrones. It's fucking ridiculous. We have one episode left in season 3 and season 9. Episode 9 in season 3 was bananas. And I'm like, what are you going to do for the season finale if you did all of this shit in episode 9? Like, it made no sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hooked. Fuck it. It is what it is. We finally got into it, and I don't know what we've been doing for the last 7 years, 7 seasons of our lives, but we've been missing a good show.
Hey, we got to get Ryan on the show.
Ryan?
Ryan.
Oh, yeah. UT Ryan?
Yeah. We got to work that out some kind of way.
What does Ryan do?
I don't know what Ryan did. We had to ask Bonnie. But I know he does something, and it's kind
of... I know Ryan's at UT.
He's at UT.
I got to say one thing. Like, that guy, like, if you ever question anybody's loyalty, like, he has it. Like, he has UT in his blood. Like, every conversation starts and ends with UT. So, this guy, he has a lot of, I don't know if it's love, respect, or what, but he has it for UT. So,
but nah, but there's a connection here. So, you know, Caesar we had on the show. You know, through Caesar, we met Anthony. Anthony knows... Right, I seen him take a picture with Ryan's daughter. So they was like, yeah, it's a small. I mean, we black people in Austin. We end up knowing each other at some point. How it works. We need to get Ryan on the show. That was a bad say. I don't even know. I think I zoned out. What was y'all talking about? When Game of Thrones first came on, I think I was flipping through HBO once. I was flipping through HBO a couple times, and it's like every time I landed on HBO and Game of Thrones was on. Somebody was having sex. Like every time, every single time, they'd be in a tower somewhere or in a dirty ass dungeon. It didn't matter. Like every time, like, is that all the show is about? And I just gave up on it. And now I feel like I'm so far behind. The one time I saw it and I actually like wanted to watch it, I saw one of those episodes with the White Walkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is this show about Vikings and zombies? This shit is incredible. But
I mean, and it's just as much nudity in Game of Thrones as it is in Snooki's Stackhouse.
Stackhouse. That was a Freudian slip. But I mean, yeah, True Blood. What? But that's HBO for you, I guess. That's HBO.
I mean, there is gratuitous sex and there's gratuitous violence, yeah. But I think the gratuitous violence in Game of Thrones really outweighs the gratuitous sex scenes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just got a little bit unlucky. There are probably sex scenes in every 3 episodes. But
probably every 2.
Maybe every 2.
It's a lot of sex.
So, the show I'm surprised that nobody's talking about is Snowfall. Like, I'm 2 episodes behind right now.
So, I have 5 people have mentioned Snowfall to me and said that it was really good.
The show is dope.
And then when I say what I'm like, oh, what is it about? And they're like, you got to watch it.
It's about crack in the 80s. It's about like the invention of crack. Like, how did crack become crack? And it's not just from like the black perspective. Like, they show it from the CIA agent perspective and from the Mexican gang perspective. And like, it's almost like, it's like a Wire. Like, if I had to compare it to anything, I would have to compare it to the Wire. Like, that's what it feels like to me. And I think the show is dope. And it's a lot of like unknown actors, like actors I don't think I've seen in a lot of other things. There are a few people I recognize. One of the ladies I recognize from The Wire. But I like Snowfall. I'm just surprised, like with Power and what's the other dumbass show everybody watching now? Power and what's the one that comes on regular TV?
Regular TV.
Empire.
I think Empire's on a break right now. I don't think it came back yet.
I mean, I don't know if it came back, but people like go nuts over like Power and Empire.
I think people are going crazy over right now. Nobody talking about these Snowfalls. It's all Power and Insecure. But Insecure, have you guys watched that? Insecure is really good.
I've seen a couple.
It's a good show.
I don't like relationships, though. I think so. I've been through so many bad relationships, and have so many issues with relationships that I don't like to watch shows about relationships. Like I just, because I can't. This is why I don't watch horror movies. I can't separate myself from what I'm seeing on the screen. So all of a sudden, like I'm too. Apathetic the word? Yeah. Like empathetic. I put myself in those and then I start feeling whatever it is, you know, I feel embarrassed for them or I feel hurt for them, you know.
That sounds like my Sunday. Like Renee and her sister got home from church.
Yeah.
And they were between talking about the sermon and then all of these TV shows and her sister's relationship. Next thing you know, Renee's talking about, well, in 2012 Richard did this, and I'm like, listen. We in a good place right now. Do you want to fuck that up? Because if we start fighting, it's on you. So yeah, I try to stay away from all of that shit. I don't want to bring anything down on us.
Yeah. Tammy and I got a rule right now. We got there's a date and you can't bring up nothing from behind that date.
That's what we need. And like I said, and I accidentally told Renee this, and she brings it up all the time, but fuck it. I was like, women are like plumbers. They like bringing up old shit. She just looked at me and I was like, I immediately knew that was the moment I fucked up.
You know, it is not that they like, because I'm realizing this, is another one of them old age, when you stop giving a fuck, so you're not like emotionally in the argument, you like logically in the argument, and you start seeing what actually happened. Like, I don't necessarily think it's that they like bringing up old shit. It's that if they're in an argument and they start losing footing, they have to shift the focus.
Yeah.
And if they can shift the focus back to the time that you were definitely in the wrong,
you have no win.
Now you have no way to win now. Like if they can get you to completely forget that you was talking, that we was talking about what's on Channel 4.
Mm-hmm.
We was talking about whether it's a Category 5 or a Category 4 hurricane. Now you're talking about that time where it was raining and you left her outside. You know what I'm saying? Like, and now you just run. You can't get out of that. You ever seen that episode of South Park where Johnny Cochran had to pull out the Chewbacca defense? Well, you just say something that makes no sense, and then there's no way to defeat nonsense. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't logically undo.
We were going back and forth for like 20 minutes, and then it came back up this morning. And
Renee
about
to hate me for saying that she said some nonsense.
And I was like, but babe, really? I'm sorry, babe. Happy birthday. And see, that's the other thing. If she's upset, you have to apologize. If you're upset, you have to apologize for making her upset about the fact that you were upset. Okay. What?
Nah. I don't think it's a secret that my wife and I go to counseling. And every counseling session, regardless of what got brought up in that session,
it's your fault.
I end up being the one to go hug her and remind her that everything's gonna be okay and I love her. And I don't think we've ever left a session and Tammy been like, Jared, don't worry about, you know, like, no, I've never gotten any reassurance coming out of one of these things. It's always on me to, you know, but that's.
So that's one of my things.
That's what we sign up for as well.
Why do women need constant reassurance but men don't? And I'm not saying that men don't need reassurance at all. What I'm saying is constant. I can wake up every morning and say, I love you. But
tomorrow morning, she's going to be like, do you still love me?
364 days in a row, I've said it.
I know you loved me yesterday. I know you loved me 5 minutes ago.
Do you love me now?
Or do you love me now?
I don't get it. I don't understand. Why?
I just think it may have something to do with the way, like, historically we were raised. Like, and I might be doing it to my daughter right now. Like, my daughter gets constant affection. Like, if I'm out there with her, we are playing, I'm holding her, you know, we're doing something, like, and I'm always telling her I love her, and I'm always telling her you're daddy's girl, you know, and all. I'm.
You know what it is? I think that constant. all fathers don't do that. But see, that's something that should be there, because the fathers that don't do that have the daughters that are out there looking for love in all the wrong places, because they feel like everything is attention, everything is affection.
But I almost thought, like, when I was saying it, like, I was saying it to say that maybe I'm setting her up for that, like, you know, like, for her, in order to believe
somebody, set that expectation.
Right, so for her, for order to believe that somebody really, like, if you care about me the way my daddy cared about me, you be telling me 300 times a day, how much you care. Whereas I know if I had a little boy, I probably wouldn't be in his face, you know, every second. Like, you know, daddy loves, you know. I'm like, nigga,
I think boys are...
Why don't you go over in that corner,
like,
and find
we're fundamentally different. You're not going to be screaming, I love you, every 5 minutes. But the difference is, you'll hug your daughter, kiss her, and say, I love you. You'll wrestle with your son, fight with your son, hug him, pick him up, and, you know, you're bonding. But that physical interaction and that bonding pretty much solidifies the same thing. And though you're not physically saying it, to me, I think that it conveys the same feeling and the same emotion. I may be wrong because I'm not a parent, but that's what I get out of it.
You can still say I love you to a son.
I'm not saying you can't. I don't think it would be to the same degree. I'm saying people right. don't say it as much, but I know people who don't say it as much, but they're very active with their sons.
I know when Tammy was pregnant, like, that was one of her fears, because I'm not an affectionate person. Like I've actually had to read books on how to be romantic and how to, you know, I didn't grow up in a household where we told each other that, oh, that's a, you know, you're handsome. It's like, we don't give compliments, and we didn't hug a whole lot, and that kind of stuff. So I had to, like, learn how to do that for relationships. And I think Tammy was really scared that, you know, we were going to have a daughter and I wasn't going to give her the kind of, you know,
reinforcement
and love and affection that she needed. And then all of a sudden I have this little girl that is like 100% natural. Like, it's nothing. It just happens, you know.
You know, the other downside is, now that you have a daughter and you realize, like, what your misgivings were and what your shortcomings were as maybe as a man, as a spouse, or anything else, you almost want to remedy that.
Yeah,
so that way you don't do that with your child. But the downside is that now, and overcompensating and trying to make sure you don't have those same misgivings with your child, what does your spouse think?
Yeah, I know, like, we've had this conversation where, like, so I'm not a morning person. Y'all know me. I don't like to get up. I don't like time. I'll be trying to run early in the morning. I'm like, goddamn. Why do we have to get up so early? I hate the mornings. And when it's just me and Tammy here, like, we like two ghosts in the morning. Like, we two zombies. We wake up and we're moving around each other, but we don't talk. You know, like, this is, I don't want to be awake. You don't want to be awake, but we got to get to work. So we going through the, like, we physically here going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the moment, you know, Elise comes upstairs, I'm like, good morning, good morning. I'm singing songs and that. And Tammy's like, you don't never say good morning to me. Like, you have never said good morning to me. I just thought you couldn't do it. But clearly you can, you know.
So then it's like, do you get mad because this person has changed? Or do you appreciate the fact that something happened, you know, and there was a crossroads that make this person change? And they did, you know, change for the better.
But then there's part of me that who kind of sees her point. Like,
I
do it for Elise because there's a piece of me innately that understands that she needs it. Mm-hmm. Like, that my, you know, that it's morning time. I want her to enjoy mornings. I want her to not be, you know, a not morning person like me. And so I try to make the morning a fun time, a fun, happy time with dad type situation. But the same way I innately understand that she needs it, why wasn't I understanding that my wife needed it, you know? And if I did understand my wife needed it, why wasn't that enough for me to do it for her, you know? Like, why, you know what I'm saying? Like, why am I giving so much precedent, you know?
Well, maybe don't get so hung up on the past. Maybe start.
I'm trying. I do it now. Like, but it's one of those, it's not natural. Like, this is, you know, it's going to take some time and it'll become natural. But right now it is Did you say Good Morning Entertainment yet? All right, say good morning. Say good morning, Jerry. Say good morning.
Mm-hmm. And then it's more psychological behind it, because it's like, okay, you're not doing that with Tammy, but Tammy's an adult and she can understand adult things. And she's like, she can understand the fact that this is how Jared was raised, or this is the type of person he is.
But she can't.
Well, you would expect that adult would, whereas you can't explain that to a one-year-old little girl.
Right.
Why is my daddy not hugging me and telling me that he loves me? So it's different. You know what I'm saying? So she can, Tammy could, an adult could compartmentalize that.
All right.
Whereas.
Here comes some deep shit. Y'all got your pencils ready. Y'all need to write this down, gentlemen. Just because someone allows you to mistreat them doesn't mean that you should. Pause on that for a second. Think about it. All right. So just because Tammy could handle.
Doesn't mean that you should have done mean it. Oh, yeah. It doesn't. And that's what I'm saying. And it doesn't make it right at all. It doesn't.
Right. I learned
it
that from
it doesn't my, make it right.
That was an ex-girlfriend. Ex-girlfriend is dropping knowledge on you when they leave. When y'all breaking up, they say like one thing. They might say a whole bunch of shit that's bullshit. That's why I never loved you. I hated you. But then they say like one thing. Just because somebody allows you to mistreat them doesn't mean that they should.
Little Rel
fucks with you for the rest of your life.
Was at his stand-up and he was like, oh no, he said it on a Carmichael show, I think. It was one of them. And he was like, why do women put up with all your shit, and when you finally decide to do right, they leave? Why couldn't you leave when I was fucked up and doing nothing? Wait till I'm a good ass dude and then you want to leave. That sends mixed signals. Like, what you're telling me is, don't change, don't be good, because then I'm gonna leave you.
Because the messed up thing with women is that they leave before they leave. Like,
oh, yeah, by the time they leave, mentally she checked out.
She did leave you when you was fucked up, and when you got better, she just didn't care. Like, it didn't matter that you got better anymore.
That's what I'm saying. You're sending wrong. See, that's where you fuck up at, because and I'm not making excuses, but it's true. You know, the guy is not going to realize. He's not going to put one and one together and figure out, oh, two. He's just gonna think, you know, I did everything I had to do. And you left me, so then the next relationship, he's just not gonna give. He's not gonna give two shits. The fucks are spent.
Here come Flan, the relationship doctor. I'm trying to tell y'all, ladies, send your quest. I can help you. I can help you. This is what I preach over and over again to people, men and women. And it's a dude in our Keep It Real joint that I really want to listen to this message right here. Love is a risk reward opportunity. You cannot get everything out of it unless you put everything in it. Mm-hmm. And when you put everything in it, you do, and I said risk reward, you open yourself up to being hurt in the worst way possible. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is that you might lose 100 times. You only have to win once. Mm-hmm. You only have to win once and you're good. That one win, I guarantee you, will erase
all the losses.
But you can't get that win unless if you don't push all the chips into the middle of the table. You got to put it all in. You're never going to get all of it out without putting it all in. And in those few rare occasions where you get like all of what you wanted out of somebody without giving them your all, you end up losing it, and that hurts even worse. Mm-hmm. Flan has spoken. I can help you people. What's that lady that got the show? I could fix somebody. Fix me, Ayana. Yeah. Somebody fix it. I could fix this stuff.
First of all, how is Ayana fixing shit when her man turned out to be gay and he left in two lives?
See, first of all,
I'm saying.
What they say: those who can do, those who can't teach.
Yeah.
Right. So my relationship is not perfect, motherfucker, but I can help you. I can help you. I promise. But you found the love of your lifetime, so that's a beautiful thing.
I have.
It's a beautiful thing.
I think so.
She's listening to this. Were you ready? I mean, I guess you've said that to her already.
Like, mm-hmm.
Okay. So we can put this podcast out there.
Oh, absolutely. It's not like the other half dozen times that I've been on the show and we had to immediately delete the episode.
Yeah, we still got old footage that we just haven't published. Did we ever get the go-ahead from Stephen for part two?
Yeah, I talked. See, I was just out there. He fixed the car with some with a zip tie.
What was wrong with it?
They call it the dust cover or whatever.
Okay.
It kind of had broken off and was dragging.
Mm-hmm. Heat shield.
That the heat shield?
I guarantee it. On top of the exhaust, and it was making a lot of...
It was right in the front.
Oh, okay, yeah, then that's the dust. Yeah, that's the...
So it had broken off, and it was, like, you know, anytime we hit a dip or something, it was just scraping along the ground. And I guess, like, the actual, like, brackets or whatever, it literally broken.
Yeah.
So he just kind of, like, drilled a hole through it and zip-tied it.
I did that on my Matrix. Yeah. There was a heat shield on the exhaust and underneath the fuel tank, and yeah, the brackets are made out of plastic, and over time they just eventually
snap.
And it only matters when you finally go to sell the car, and I'm like, well, the zip ties?
Well, the zip ties, yeah. Well, I don't even think I use zip ties. I just use some aluminum wire, like from an electric fence, and just kind of twisted it together. Yeah.
And it's crazy, 'cause all this shit I be talking about, like masculinity, and like guys don't watch sports anymore, and guys and this. You go over like Steven,
he's like,
he can emasculate.
He's the extreme end of both scales.
Yeah, he is the extreme end of, because in some areas, you know, he does his little things that are kind of weird. But then you go over, he's like building a dining room table because dining room table they have ain't big enough. And I was like, hey,
yeah, Steven will whittle out a table, fucking hunt and gather and cook a brisket.
He put that damn
grill some ribs,
fire pit in the backyard,
fix a car, and tell you how much he loves you at the same time.
Right. They give you a massage your back, and you be like, Steven, get your fucking hands off my back, Steven. Steven. That's my dude. That's my guy. Steven.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to pause this right here, and we'll see you next episode. Be the light. Peace. All right, what's going on, people? This is Rich, just doing some throwback, some out of the book for you really quick. Let me know what you think. Hope you like it. The words that say are psychotropic. I was high on life when they were born. Conceived in a mental, mind fucked. Thoughts came, cranial birth, untitled bastard child with no name. Every day more the same. Unborn, many born, torn, forlorn. I've no clarity, that's clear to me. Smart as a whip, dumb as a brick, sick shit. Infamy, never a goal for me. Seems a hectic road to me. Travel well if that you seek, but I shy away. A postcard, don't even send me. I'm all alone, been since. Contacts, I don't contact, cause people lack sense common. Combat roaches and rats, hands held out, looking for a handout. Begging is a disease. When the face hits the floor, challenge them to pick it up in one piece. Peace. Walk swiftly. When I make moves, I do so quickly. Don't look back, because it'll cause you to sway forth. Teeter-totter with the force. Online, dial-up, doesn't matter. I'm waiting online. Word account on E. I should deposit a line. I develop too much and withdraw quicker. Right back I go. Practice makes me sicker. To keep from being focused, I try to stay focused. It's just, damn. A changed plan, altered state. I feel violated, mind fucked. This is date raped, but I liked it. I'll do it all again. Third man green, high self-esteem, held in high esteem. Humane in action to the fellow man, equal action to his rib. After all, she questioned the orb. Dove right in, red ripe flesh, cherished it, savored it. I condemned him though. But time ticks on, we made it. Game of chance, she played it. The future in a second is now. It's always coming, always passing. My spectacles, dual monocles. What a spectacle. But hey, receptive is the psyche that's receptive to all psyches. All right, let me know what you think. Peace.